Hello and welcome to the Breaking Free podcast. I'm your host, Nathan Francis. And today on the podcast, I'm going to go through the top 10 changes that the school system desperately needs in these current times. I feel like this system is very outdated and there needs to be mass overhauls of it. And these are the top 10 changes that I would implement instantly from what I've seen over the last few years, even over the last 10 years, given the work that I've done inside there as well. So without any further ado, in no particular order, I've got notes prepared and everything here today. So in no particular order, the number one change that I would make to the current school system would be being told to sit still and be quiet. Now, given the way this works is you have someone standing at the front and they're telling the children to be quiet and sit still. Now, the children are so full of energy. They're so full of life. They're so full of imagination and play that being told to sit still and be quiet programs them later in life to take orders, to follow instructions, to be good little foot soldiers, to be the hamster wheel on the system. Now, children love to speak. They love to play. Now, given the way our chakra system works, this is why I'm wearing blue today, if you're watching this on the video, that instantly shuts off their throat chakra and their ability to speak gets shut off instantly in that moment. And it's also a repetitive thing. This is a day by day by day process of being told to sit still, be quiet, listen, pay attention. Now, if you look at the wording and you look at the way that they say pay attention, you're paying your energy, you're paying attention to that authority figure. That needs to change. Number two, doing the right thing. Now, there are so many examples and so many ways I could take this, but we often hear it inside the system, inside the news, inside everything else that do the right thing. Well, that child's going to have a different perception of the right thing to the person telling them what is the right thing. Children have their own minds and they have their own thinking and capabilities to express themselves out in the world. And if they're being told to do the right thing, they need to figure that out for themselves about what the right thing is to do. What is right from wrong? It's about having that conversation rather than do the right thing, sit still, be quiet. What if that child doesn't want to sit still and be quiet? Then to that child, that's not the right thing. There needs to be changes in the wording that we use to children so we're not casting spells onto them and producing these obedient, these dependent order followers. Number three is authority. Now, given the way this system works inside, we have authority figures standing up there as their teachers and as leaders in the school that the children are looking up to. Now, if you look at people when they watch TV and they watch someone on a stage, they're looking up at that figure. They're paying attention energetically to that figure. Now, when we have assemblies and different things inside the school system, the children are looking up at authority. That's giving their power away to that authority figure to rule them, to tell them what to do, to pretty much guide them wherever that authority figure wants them to go. Now, ideally, the change I would make is you'd have children stand up and you'd have someone speak. And you wouldn't even have them sitting down looking up because that puts them in a, they're already in a trance state. They're already in a theta brainwave state as children. You're just enhancing that form of mind control by having them look up at authority, having them bow to authority. And then that they, it's about compliance from that stage forward, that person that's up the front can say and do anything and the children will repeat that back. Children mirror, mimic, and copy everything around them. And if they're looking up at an authority figure, they're more inclined to mirror, mimic, and copy that instruction, mirror, mimic, and copy whatever it is that that person is telling them to do. So when they say, sit still, be quiet, listen, look up, pay attention, that's the spell cast from the authority figure to the children that you're under my command, you do as I say, you do the right thing, and you'll be given what you need to be given, and you'll be rewarded. This system rewards the right thing. Children steps out of line, a child's looking over at the bushes. That's deemed wrong inside there. That child will be punished because they're not following everyone else. They're not following that command. They're not following that order. So that child is then punished, anyway. Number four, creativity. Now, this system destroys a child's ability to be creative. You look at the specialist subjects at school in terms of art and stuff, that teacher's up the front telling them what they need to draw, telling them what they need to paint, telling them what they need to create. Now, we need to let our children use their imagination, express their creativity, express their imagination with very little things to give them. Give them a pen, give them a pencil, give them a paintbrush, and let them go away and just make it happen. I feel like our children can express their creativity without being told what to do so much. And there's things that they would like to do that they would like to create, but they're kept inside this box of constraint that they must do this, they must do that, they must follow that, rather than expanding them and letting them come up with what it is that they want to do, what it is they want to draw, what it is they want to paint, what it is that they want to create. They're kept small and they're kept confined in this box, and they carry that around for the rest of their lives, and they're programmed to play small, to stay small, and to stay in the box and never expand and never spread their wings and grow. That's another change I would make, is I would allow the children the freedom to be creative and to do and build and draw and paint the things that they want to draw, paint, and do, and not keep them in this box that they then leave the school system and jump into the other system, the workforce, and they're still in that box and they're still playing small. We need to allow our children to expand and grow. Why? Because the children of today are here to do that exact thing. They're here to expand and they're here to grow, but they're kept small, very small inside this system. Number five is a big one, soul development, soul nurturing. We need to allow them to feel into these things, feel into their intuition, feel into their gut feelings, and help them understand what those feelings are, what their emotions are, where that anger might come from. They might have things going on at home, so they're angry at home. Allow them to express those emotions, but also allow them to feel them and show them that it's okay to be angry. It's okay to be sad, but most importantly, it's okay to be happy, and it's okay to be full of energy and full of life and full of imagination. Let them feel all the different emotions and then allow them to process what that emotion might actually be, rather than say, well, little Johnny's angry today, we're going to keep him in a box, we're going to let him go to another classroom because we can't handle him here. You know, we're quick to palm off the children when they're misbehaving or when they're angry. It's just a matter of sitting with that child. And then another thing I would change too, just off topic here as an honorable mention, is 25 to 30 kids in a classroom is an absolute joke. There is no way a teacher can build a relationship with every single student and their families when there's 25 to 30 kids in a classroom. That does not work in any way. We need to lower the number and allow these children to actually build a rapport with not really a teacher, more of a mentor, a facilitator of the child's learning. That's what I would do. That's an honorable mention, but it should definitely be in the top 10, which Back on the soul development, though, we need to let the children even understand that what the soul actually is. Show them that there are special things that this body can do when they're physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually healthy, that they can feel things, they can see things, that the soul wants to play. Allow them to play, allow them to express that creativity. And if they see colors and they see auras and they see chakras and they see beings and they see all this spiritual woo-woo stuff, it's allowing them to see that. And it's not saying it's not dumping it on the child of being like, oh, this is woo-woo. This is just in your head. This is just your imagination. This isn't real. When this stuff is real, the other side is real. It's a matter of seeing the child, listening to them, asking them questions about what it is that they see, what it is that they feel. Let them tap into the future. Let them display their psychic abilities, because they all have them, but they get shut off when they don't feel heard and they don't feel seen. So that's a big one. Let the children use their imagination. Let them tap into the future, tap into their psychic abilities, because they're seeing things that we all have the power to see. Their direct channel, their direct light is super tapped in. They're super connected, and it's harnessing that connection and letting them develop it and nurture it rather than shutting that off and blocking them from it. So soul development and soul nurturing is probably the number one change that I would make. Number six ties in with that is imagination. Let the kids use their imagination. Let them dream big. Let them dream of unicorns and mermaids and all these things. Let them use that imagination. Nurture that imagination, because then you're nurturing the soul. You're nurturing the soul and you're allowing them to express themselves freely rather than keeping them in a box and playing small. Number seven is forcing these topics and these subjects that have absolutely no benefit to the real world. Now, we're topics like Pythagoras' theorem, parallelograms, we're talking algebra, we're talking all these things that are absolute garbage that these children have. They even say it themselves. Like when I was a student, when I was at school, I would question the teacher, why am I learning this today? This has no benefit to me in 10 years' time when I'm 16. Oh, not 16, I'm 26. Like, if you're not studying mathematics or anything, you don't need to learn parallelograms and all this other advanced bullshit and garbage that you're feeding them, because they don't need it. They're not interested in it. We shouldn't be forcing them to do things that they're not necessarily interested in. It's because the curriculum and the orchestrators say so. It's like, well, they don't need this stuff. It's no benefit to anyone. It's no benefit to them. It's no benefit to the teacher teaching it. There's no benefit to any of it. And there's so many other subjects too that I could sit here and do a whole podcast on that. But forcing topics and forcing subjects that these children aren't interested in is an absolute waste of time, because it's wasting the children's time. It's wasting the teacher's time. And this is where the misbehaviors come in. I've seen it every day. And you ask the children, they don't want to learn about parallelograms. They really don't. They're staring out the window. And I was that student that did that as well. And that's the thing. We're forcing things on them that they don't want to do. They're not interested in. This is why on a level that the children are so disengaged from school and don't want to be there, because they're doing things that they don't want to do. So they'd rather stay home and sit on their laptop, sit on their PlayStation, sit on their video games and sit on their tech rather than go to school, because they're doing things they aren't interested in. And if a child's not doing things they aren't interested in, they lose their passion, they lose their purpose, and they lose their drive. They lose their ability to be able to be independent, and they lose their ability and their zest for life. They don't have it. They're stuck in a box. They're stuck in a rut. They're like, I don't want to go to school. I don't want to learn these things. And they're just stuck. So that's number seven. Number eight, life skills. The children aren't taught to go into the forest and fetch clean water. They're not taught how to clean water. They're not taught how to tie their shoes. They're not taught how to tie knots in ropes. They're not taught essential life skills in terms of financial skills. They're taught the system financial skills about borrowing money and accumulating debt. That's not proper life skill education. Proper life skill education is getting those kids outside, getting their shoes off, tying knots in ropes, building forts, being that, still being creative and still and learning about proper life skills, how to have a conversation with someone, how to, there's so many that they're not taught. And this is why they're teaching it. They're not teaching it because they want these children to be dependent on the system. Get these children to fix lights and fix light bulbs and get them to even fix cars on an actual surface level of checking oil and doing all these things, that then they grow up into life and they don't know, they just don't know how to do these things. And it's something that needs to be back and taught again, are essential life skills. And it's not just physical life skills, it's emotional life skills, it's mental life skills about building habits, building good habits such as exercise, such as eating right. Oh, that's another one. Eating right. Like, we're showing these kids the bullshit food pyramid that has absolutely no nutritional benefit to any child at all because they're still in moderation. Well, poison in moderation is not healthy. We need, our children need to be educated and shown that, hey, alcohol is really bad for you. It's basically a depressant, and it lowers your vibration on a spiritual level. Now, our children need to be shown and taught that. They're taught, just do it in moderation. They're watching the sport. They're watching the TV. They're watching all their stars out there in the world. They're all just getting drunk and having a good time, yahooing, pissing around, piss farting around. That's not life. So piss the food pyramid off and show the children to grow their own food. There's another life skill, grow your own food. Show them how to nurture the food and put all their love and all their positive energy into the food that they're growing, and let them fail. There's another one. There's another honorable mention. We don't let our kids fail anymore. It's a participation medal for little Johnny that came last in the race. It's junior footy, junior cricket, not keeping the score. It's like these children learn so much when they lose. They learn so much when they fail. I know for me, I used to love competing and doing the athletics. It's like, well, when I come last, or I come, I didn't really come last, when I came fourth, fifth, sixth, it's like, well, how do I get better so I can come first, second, third? It's a matter of asking them that question of, okay, Johnny, how can you get better today? What can you do today that can in 12 months' time get you to be up on that podium coming first, second, or third, if that's what it is that you want to strive for? Not giving him a participation medal for, well done, Johnny, you came sixth and you get a medal too. It's absolutely wrong. It's bullshit. We got to let our children fail. We got to let them lose. We got to let them learn from their mistakes, and it's okay to make them. There's another honorable mention, making mistakes. We got to let our children make mistakes and show them that it's okay to fail. And then actually showing them that may not even be a failure, because in 12 months' time, you'll have learned from that experience. It will happen again. You go, well, I'm not making that mistake again. It's not necessarily a failure. It's more of a mistake, but also allowing them to make those mistakes, because that's where the growth happens. It's where the transformation happens. And we wrap our children in bubble wrap. We wrap them in cotton wool to say, go out into the world and don't make a mistake, because then you're a failure. It's so wrong. We need to change that. And I feel like we are. Number nine, business pursuits and entrepreneurs. We need to piss these career expos off. Get rid of the people coming in and talking about their careers, and get entrepreneurs in there, get people in there that have been in business, and to show these children that they can build wealth and that they can build something for themselves that's not necessarily working for someone else and building someone else's dream. More entrepreneurs, get them in there, get them showing these kids that you can generate wealth and that you can be and that you can do more than one thing, and that little Johnny over there can be more than just that one thing in that box of, he wants to be a plumber. Great. Johnny wants to be a plumber. He can do so much more than just plumbing. It's allowing them to expand their their thoughts and expand their imagination and expand the things that they can do, because they've come here to do more than one thing for the rest of their lives. They've come here to do multiple upon multiple things. And that's what we need to nurture and develop inside these systems, so that our children are empowered, they're not disempowered. Number 10, resume and cover letters ties in with number nine. We need to throw them out the window as well, because what we're doing with showing and teaching the students to write resumes and cover letters is that we're showing them and teaching them that you must be a cog in this system. You must get a job. We're programming them to get a job. We're programming them to build someone else's dream instead of their own. We're not sitting there with little Johnny saying, hey, bro, what is it that you want to do? What is your big dream? It's, what job do you want? What do you want to do for the rest of your life? We're not expanding them. We're not expanding them to think big, to dream big, that they can do multiple upon multiple things. Sit over there, write your resume and your cover letter so you can get a good job. Number 11. We've actually got, I think there's about 15 here now. So box ticking. Now, this is so broad that I'll just cover it quickly. There's when a child does something wrong, the parents are called. That's a box tick. I'll just call the parents. We'll have a meeting. We'll suspend the child. We'll do these things and we'll just tick boxes. Oh, we'll do respectful relationships, but we'll just tick that box. It's all about ticking a box and saying to the department or wherever, it's like, we've ticked that box. Absolutely bullshit. Number 12 is dependency, and that ties in with number 9 and 10, dependency. We're building up these children to be dependent on the government, dependent on the job, dependent on the system, whereas we need to empower them to become independent. Not just independent thinkers, but independent dreamers, independent workers, independent, so that they're creating their own life. They're not creating someone else's. They're doing the things that they're interested in, that they're passionate about, that they want to do, rather than being dependent on this system, which is completely failing them, as you've heard today with my top 15 changes I would make, is that we're not allowing them to be independent. We're programming them for dependency. And then that's why in 30, 40, 50, 60 years' time, they regret their lives. They regret the things they did, because they were programmed many moons ago inside the school system that they must sit in a box. They must do one thing. They must be one thing when they can be so much more. So that's my top 10 to 15 changes I would instantly make to the school system. I'd love to hear yours. Please let me know in the comments. Let me know in the description or shoot me an email, NathanSelfSabotage@gmail.com. And thank you for listening and watching the Breaking Free podcast. Oh, and before I go, I am making a documentary, Education Unpacked, The Burden and Baggage. It is a documentary on this system and shining a light on the good, the bad, the ugly, and shining a light on the homeschool groups, the bush school groups, the people that are doing awesome things outside the system. It's about showing people that there are other systems, there are other alternative things and groups that our children can go to rather than being inside the current system. I think it's a beautiful thing what we're doing. I have a 15-year-old boy with me. It's going to help me put it together, film, edit, produce it. So if anyone out there that's listened to this podcast today would like, that has someone that they know that is young and enthusiastic, that has a passion for filmmaking, producing, graphic design, or one of the many roles we have, please get in touch with me. And yeah, I'll look forward to working with them and helping put this project forward. If you're a homeschooler, you're a former teacher, current teacher, you're a bush school person, you're in an ultimate system, you're doing something that's outside the system, I would love to hear from you. If you're a teacher or a former teacher that has a story about your experience in there and what you're doing now, let me know, email me and let me know your story. We'll get in touch. If you're a principal, you've been inside the school system, you've sort of seen how things are done and you have a story, please reach out to me. I'd love to have a chat to you about it. Love to feature you in the documentary as well. I believe this will be big. It's going to be 6 parts And it's going to be really awesome for people to see what's going on, but also to see the solution. We need to have more solutions out there. There are problems. We need more solutions. So this has been the Breaking Free podcast. I thank you all for listening and watching wherever in the world you are. And if you do want to reach out to me, please reach out to me in the comments, reach out to me on email or any of my socials about the documentary, about this podcast, about the work I do, which is coaching as well. I am mentoring children at this point in time. And I coach people that are of, I coach teens, I coach anyone and everyone that is out there that is disempowered, that wants their power back. I can help show you how to do that in my coaching as well. So reach out to me anytime. I'm always here for you. You also have free Zoom consults on offer for you and your family as well. I have presentations. I have Zoom seminars. I have group coaching videos and all sorts of resources at my disposal as well. So there's everything there to be your best. This has been the Breaking Free podcast. I'm your host, Nathan Francis. And today we delved into the 10 to 15 changes I would instantly make to the school system. So I hope you all enjoyed that conversation today. I'll talk to you all again soon. Cheers.